Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you this afternoon and are looking forward to answering questions from God's Word. This is a live radio broadcast, so feel free to call in your questions. Our normal live call-in line is changed today, and so we want to encourage you to listen closely to make sure you get the actual number. The number today to call in your questions is 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161, and we will go to God's Word for the answers to your question. We are having some problems with our existing line, so we only have one line today. So if you call in, you may get a busy signal. Don't let that stop you. Just keep calling, and we'd be more than happy to answer your question today on this broadcast. Again, that number to call today is 614-4161. Now, we do have a text line that you can text in your question, so feel free to use that throughout the course of the broadcast today. That text number is 725-9283. Again, that number is 725-9283, and we will get your text question here and be able to answer those questions from God's Word. Again, we place a tremendous amount of focus on God's Word, and the reason for that is because it has all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. So if there's something in your life that you're curious about and you're wondering what God has to say on it, and we can just go to His Word and find that out. Maybe there's something that you saw today while you were at service, and you're curious whether that is actually in God's Word. Well, call up with your question. We'd be more than happy to let the Bible speak. Again, the number to call today, listen closely, is 614-4161. That number to call right now is 614-4161.
Once again, we want to thank you for joining us today, and just giving you a reminder that that number is changed for today, has some difficulties, and so we want to be able to make sure that when you're calling in the right number for today. 614-4161 is going to be the number that we're calling today. If you want to go ahead and text in your question, we do have that line as always available. 725-9283 is the text number. That's 725-9283 is the number for you to text in your questions to the program today. We have the caller James, who called last week, and James, hopefully you're able to join us today to hear the answer to your question. His question was left over from last week because it was one of those questions that came in at the end of the broadcast where we got a flurry of calls, and so just a warning that happens a lot on the program, and so if you want to avoid that, just remember to make sure that you call in your questions when they come up. Call in or text in your questions. Send them in to us when you get them, when they come to mind. Don't wait until the end of the broadcast to call in your questions, unless you will be able to have to hear it next week. And so we're starting the program with the question here that James called in last week. James' question was, do you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit? Okay, James, that's a good question, and just to go answer your question is Acts 2:38 is a verse we want to look at to make mention of something. You talk about how to have the Holy Spirit. I'm sure there is probably some kind of teaching out there that mentions you have to speak in tongues in order to have the Holy Spirit, but we're going to see what God says how you get the Holy Spirit. There is one way to get the Holy Spirit. It has to be given to you by God. Now, when does God give us the Holy Spirit? Is it when we speak in tongues? Well, Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, this is in answering this question. This context is from, it starts in verse 36, excuse me, but it's verse 38. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. That is when we receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mention there you have to speak in tongues to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, from my recollection, and I will ask Nick to be on this as well, I don't recall any verse that specifically says anything about you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit.
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. And if there's anyone who might actually know of a verse that actually does say that, I'd enjoy you calling in the program and letting us know that, just in case there is a verse that we're not aware of in God's Word, in the Bible, that says anything about you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. But as according to Acts 2:38, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit after we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Also consider 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31, that also talks about, mentions different gifts that God gives. And he makes the point in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31, that not everyone has the same gifts. And in that chapter right there, in that section, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, lists multiple things that show we do not all have the same gifts. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, James, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. So call in your questions here at the station. Remember, today we have a new number. The number for today is 614-4161. That's 614-4161 is the number to be able to call in your questions today. If you have called in the old number, the 308 number, just remember that number is not working right now. So please go ahead and dial 614-4161 for your questions. Or the text line is available. You can call in the text line. That's readily available at 725-9283.
Sharon calls in today. Sharon, we sure appreciate it. Sharon says, why are things always going wrong when I try to do right? You know, Sharon, I bet there are many listeners that have the same feeling about this, that every time they're trying to do the right thing, the things just start to fall all to pieces. Well, why is that? And I think that's a very good question. We can't lose sight that the devil never stops working. And the more we try to do the right thing, the more he wants to prevent that from occurring. Because he wants to keep people on his side. He wants to keep us doing wrong. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and note in this text it describes the devil as your adversary. The idea, he's your enemy, he is against you. The Bible said, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the more we try to do the right thing, the more time he'll spend trying to attack us. And so we have an encouragement from God in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, God says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so although the devil is attacking, there is something that we can do. We must put on the whole armor of God. And so you have a description of this armor that God gives us. The Bible says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's Satan. And so we need a shield of faith, the Bible says, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, that's why this program can be a help to you, because what we offer is just that, the Word of God. And here in this text, it describes the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. And so the Bible, the Word of God, is the tool that the Spirit used for combat. Combat things like the devil, to combat evil. And so then we always have to go to God's Word to seek out His counsel, His advice, to look to see what God wants us to do. And when times get rough and times get tough, God tells us to continue to persevere, to continue to push forward. But we must stay right in His sight. There's a passage in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Philippians 4 and verse 8, that may be helpful as well. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, think on these things. And so despite all the things that's happening around you as you're trying to do the right thing, think about the good things. Think about the pure things. Think about the true things. Those things will serve as a motivation to keep you moving forward in the right direction. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call. 308-9564 is not the number. The number has changed today. The real number, and I was just testing you guys, is 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161 is the number to call today. Our 308 number is not working. The guys in here were quick to correct me. If you wish to text us, you can. Go ahead and text us at 725-9283. That is the text line today, 725-9283. And we will do our best just to let the Bible speak to the questions on your heart. Go ahead and call right now, 614-4161.
I want to make mention of the Bible correspondence course that we have. The number is just fine, and we have the operator standing by, ready to be able to help you to enroll into that course. And we've had many people that proclaim that that course has helped them out so much in their study of God's Word. We're not trying to put any focus on the study. It's not a great study, and it's not a great tool because it's something that we did that's so special. It's great because of the enrichment of God's Word that people get from it. They get so much out of the Word that they can't help but feel that it's something that's been done for them and done to them. And that's really just because the Word of God really offers so much to you in your life. And so we want to be able to give the answers that God says in His Word, and we don't like to make it feel like there's something that we are doing. It's really not. We're just God's servants, and we are trying so hard and so diligently and fervently to help those who are truly seeking God's answers and truly want to do His will. And that's what that Bible correspondence course is all about, helping you to learn what God's Word says about how to serve Him and live for Him, and not what the various teachings, false teachings, and other things that are out there today that you really should be aware of if you want to be studying to show yourself approved unto God. And that is 553-5157 is the number to dial to enroll in that course. And we'll be going to break in just a little bit about telling you about that. But even before break, you can call in at your questions. 614-4161 is the number today. 614-4161 is the number to dial in today to get your questions. And the text line is, once again, that is available at our regular number, 725-9283, 725-9283. And we'll probably, is it time for our first break? We'll probably go ahead and take our first break. And even while we're at break, call in your questions to 614-4161, 614-4161. Once again, we are back live, and we thank you so much for being able to join us on this Sunday afternoon. Hopefully the weather is not dampening too many of you, and you'll be able to still find the treasures and the happiness that God's Word provides, and that peace. And so we'll be able to try to continue to help you in that. And to call in your questions is 614-4161 to reach us here at the station. Our normal line number is not working today, and so we want to be able to mention the 614-4161 is the number that you'll need to dial to call in your questions today. Once again, that's 614-4161. And the correspondence course that we just talked about over on break, and once again, we just want to help you enroll in those things that will be able to aid you in your study of God's Word and learning more about how to serve God and really what does God say. And one thing we should not do is just getting comfortable with what man says, what man has come up with, what people of the world has come up with concerning the Bible. There's a lot of treating the Bible like a buffet. You know, you can go to a buffet, you'll pick out a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and, oh, I don't want any of this, but I'll take some of that. And we cannot get into the habit of treating God's Word like a buffet. We can't just pick out certain verses and say, oh, yeah, well, I believe this, and I like this verse. Oh, this verse over here, I don't really like this verse, or I don't like that. And so you choose not to follow certain verses and choose not to apply certain verses to your life. We should not ever get into that kind of mindset or that kind of service towards God, because the truth of the matter is that is not servicing God. We cannot pick and choose how we're going to serve Him. If we really want to be pleasing to Him and be able to enjoy Him in our internal home, then we must be able to try to apply His Word to our life. And so hopefully our correspondence course can aid you in that. That's 553-5157 to enroll in that correspondence course to the operator who is standing by. But here we are at the station. We're waiting for your questions to come in. The line to dial us here is 614-4161. That's the number here at the station for today, 614-4161, or you have the text line available to you, 725-9283, 725-9283.
Steve calls in today. Steve, we sure appreciate you calling in. Steve says, what does salvation mean and how to obtain it? Well, Steve, we sure, again, appreciate this question. I'm sure there's many out there that has the same question, but sometimes the word salvation is used in a lot of different ways. When we consult the scriptures, when we go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we have Peter making mention of this particular word. And Peter says concerning salvation, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the word salvation that he uses in verse 12 simply means, from the Greek, it denotes deliverance or preservation. And so salvation is the idea of deliverance. Well, what is it that we need to be delivered from? Well, from the bonds of sin. And he says that occurs in the name of Jesus. There are other passages that lets us know that salvation is a message. For example, in Acts the 28th chapter, in verse 28, again, the Bible says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And so there's a message of salvation. And then we take a note, if you're still following along, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation. So God's power to deliverance is found in the gospel. And that is a message that God intended for us to hear, and it is a message that God intended for us to obey. And so that hopefully answers the question as well, how do you obtain it? Well, you hear the gospel of salvation, and you obey the gospel of salvation. Here's a passage that will be helpful always, is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, talking about Jesus. The Bible says, though he was a son, verse 8, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered in being made perfect or perfected. He became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. He became the author, the source of eternal salvation for all that obey him. And so we have to obey him. So when we ask the question about salvation, what is it? It is deliverance, deliverance from sin. And God's power to salvation is found in the gospel. It is a message that we must all hear and obey. Now, as we go forward throughout the broadcast, we'll talk about what does it mean to obey the gospel of salvation. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161, and we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. If you would like to text us your question, you can. Now, that text number is 725-9283, 725-9283. And we will receive your text question and do our best to answer it. Now, what you don't want to do is wait till the end of the broadcast and start calling. You can. We would love to have you call. But if you start calling at the end of the broadcast, we will not be able to get all your questions in, especially today, because we really only have one line. And so go ahead and call now. Right now the line is not busy, so you can call right now, 614-4161, and we can get your question in and answer it on today's broadcast. Or if you feel as it's better for you to just text us, we would be happy to have that as well. Just go ahead and text us at 725-9283. We did mention earlier the correspondence course that we have available to you free of charge. You can call the operator standing by and sign up for that as well. Again, that's a tool that will help you specifically on questions like salvation. So that study aids in that process. You want to learn more about what you must do in order to obey the gospel of our Lord, the gospel of salvation? Well, call the operator standing by at 553-5157. This is a free study. We will never charge you anything. It is our hopes, it's our prayers, that you will come to a better understanding of our Lord and do his will. That's the intent. So go ahead and call the operator standing by and sign up for the course. Again, that number is 553-5157. But to call in today, go ahead and call 614-4161.
Thank you once again. We have one line, and lines are open now. So go ahead, and today might be a little bit hard to try to get your calls in, but we still want to appreciate. We still appreciate every single call we get. So go ahead and call in. Don't let the new number be a hindrance to you. Don't let the rain be a hindrance to you. Don't let anything hinder you from getting your questions about God answered from the Word of God. And so we just want to be diligent in serving you in that. 614-4161 is the number here to answer your questions. 614-4161. The lines are available and open. Or if you don't want to even worry about that, go ahead. The text line is available. The text line is always open. 725-9283. 725-9283. We have a question. Terry has called in this question. Terry's question says, does a minister have to have a license? Well, in the license, in the sense of the word that you may be using, I'm going to say no, but I'm also going to say yes to a certain extent. A license has to be from God. God has to give you the permission to be able to be a minister. Minister is, the word means servant, but I have a feeling here you're using it in terms of a minister or a pastor or a bishop or elder over a church. And so concerning that, concerning a overseer or a bishop or elder or a pastor, concerning that role, do you have to have a license? Well, yes, from God. We look at Peter, we look at, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writing as an elder, and starting in verse 1 says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the church of God, and shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So he tells them how to be this, how to carry this role. Nick, you want to add to that?
You know, many people, when they use the word minister, they're actually thinking about kind of what you just brought out, Chuck. They're really thinking about the pastor. And so God definitely have criteria for a person to be a pastor or overseer, as was brought out. But that word minister really just means servant. I mean, that's the actual Greek word. And, you know, so anybody can be a servant from that perspective. In fact, we should all be ministers in the sense that we're all serving in the kingdom of God. It's just sometimes we misuse words that from the Bible, and we shouldn't. We really should try to stick to the Bible meaning of those words in that respect, that we are just doing what God says. We are all ministers, and a minister is a servant. So a minister is not on top. A minister is on the bottom. That's where a servant is. And that's what we are. It's interesting that you'll find that word servant is translated three different ways in the Bible. Sometimes it's translated servant, sometimes it's translated minister, and sometimes it's translated deacon. And the Greek word is diakonos, but what it really means when it's translated deacon is because there's qualifications for a deacon, so it's a special servant. But in all the other passages, there's nothing special about being a servant except for the fact that you serve the Most High God. Now, going back to this idea of a license, you might look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. If I'm saying that I'm going to be a servant of God that's preaching his word, then here's what Paul tells Timothy. He says, in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And so that's really only qualification to be able to preach God's word, is that I need to be teaching those things that we've received from the apostles by way of the Holy Spirit and just teaching God's truth. And anybody can do that. Now, from a pulpit, God has some requirements, but for as far as going and teaching people, anyone can do that as long as they're teaching the truth of God's word.
And yeah, just to add on to that, also as far as this idea about a pastor or overseer having a license, the license I was about to refer to was in Acts 20 and verse 28. Here's Paul writing this letter to the elders of the church in Ephesus. And he says something very interesting to there, the point that I want to bring out in this idea about having a license to be a minister or being a overseer or a pastor or a bishop, if that's the idea here. In Acts 20 and verse 28, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So that license of being that ability or the permission given of how to shepherd God's flock and oversee the flock of God's people is given by the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit do that? With those qualifications that are mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as well as Titus chapter 1. Those are the where you can find the qualifications that the Holy Spirit gives. God gives those qualifications that he expects overseers, pastors, elders, bishops, deacons. He expects them to carry themselves a certain way and to meet a certain set of criteria. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and as well as Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. That's where the Holy Spirit tells you what God expects from those who would serve in the role of being an elder or a pastor, which is not a position of title or authority. It's a role that they serve in, and it's to shepherd God's flock of God's people. We're getting ready to take our break, but the line is open. The line here at the station is open. Please go ahead and call 614-4161. That is the number that you need to call today. 614-4161 is the number to reach us here at the station. And the text line is readily available, 725-9283, 725-9283. But even while we are at break, we're going to go ahead and tell you about the Bible's correspondence course. That is free of charge, and we will be able to send it to you and get it out to you in tomorrow's mail. It is free of charge, and so we're going to be telling you about that at the break. Once again, I'm sorry, that I mentioned that was free of charge. So that Bible correspondence course, we're going to be able to tell you that. But even while we're at break telling you about the correspondence course, call in your questions at 614-4161, 614-4161. We'll be right back. Yes, we are back live, and we just want to thank you for taking the time out this afternoon to join us here at the station. The line is available. Once again, we have a new number. If you haven't been listening, or if you maybe kind of catch us in and out driving in the car or something, the number today is 614-4161 is going to be the number to be able to reach us here at the station. The other line, the normal line, is not working today. The 614-4161 is going to be the line that you need to call in order to get us here at the station to ask your question. But the text line is fine. The text line is working great. It's 725-9283. It is working just properly, and we'll be able to get your questions in and try to answer them as best we can. 725-9283, that's the text line here. Nikki, you have a question?
Yes, and before I get to the question, just want to make mention of the website. We do have a website that you can go and you can download material or previously recorded broadcast. Now that website is www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com. If you have friends that do not have access to be able to listen on the radio, they can go to our website and actually click on the link, and I believe they're able to listen to the broadcast through the streaming link, I believe, if that's up. So let them know that. Again, that website is www.biblealone.com. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That's the number here at the station today to get your question in. And that phone sounds mighty quiet. So if you've been anxious to get your question in, go ahead and call right now, 614-4161. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a text question that came in. The caller, last three digits is 113. Says, is there or were there similarities in the ministries of Jesus Christ and Stephen? And are there scriptures supporting it? Well, absolutely. It's a very good question, and there are. In fact, I could probably take the rest of the broadcast kind of showing the parallels between Jesus' life and Stephen's life. The most obvious is that Jesus did not do anything that warranted him being accused of the things that he was accused of. In fact, they would bring out false witnesses to make accusations against him. And the same thing is true about Stephen. If you look in Acts the 6th chapter, you'll see that they would hire, that people would come in and make these false claims about him. In Acts the 6th chapter, verse 11, the Bible says, then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Well, he really didn't say that, but that's what they're saying. They're false witnesses. And, verse 12, they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. Remember, Jesus was taken to the council, brought in by the garrison. Verse 13, they also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. Verse 14, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face as of an angel. And so you'll see that absolutely Stephen was innocent, much like Jesus, innocent, but yet charged falsely. So that's one or two parallels, depending upon how you're counting that. Another parallel, and probably the last one that I'll make mention, is the fact that both at the time that they're going to be sacrificed for the people, they both had a heart to want people to be spared. Jesus on the cross, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Luke 23 and verse 34, Jesus has his heart to forgive those who were attacking him and those who were accusing him, those who had caused him to be hung on a tree. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Well, you know, you and I would look at Jesus in the flesh, and sometimes we think, well, it was easy for him to say that, but an ordinary man wouldn't be able to say such a thing. And yet and still, when we look in Acts the 7th chapter, we see a man by the name of Stephen, and what we're trying to do is parallel, with the same type of heart. Here's a man that they stone and cast out of the city in verse 58, Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. They're saying the very similar, same thing that Jesus was saying. Don't hold this against them. Do you know what it takes in order for a person to be wrongly accused, to be tortured, and then to still have the heart to say, do not hold this against these people? Those are the kind of people that we want to be like. Jesus sets forth the example. Stephen follows that example. And clearly we see a parallel of the two. Very good question. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That is our number today at the station, 614-4161. Or feel free to text your question in at 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
Yeah, Jeff has this question about Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and verse 6. First of all, just read this. And the question is on Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 that says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. And Jeff asked us for a couple of examples concerning this. There are some things that I want to pull out as far as what God's word says about that. But kind of the second part of that that talks about lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Well, you know, what reproves us? If someone's speaking something and they're not speaking it right, what do we use to reprove them? What do we use to correct them? Or to check them out and make sure they're right or not. Well, then 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16 gives us that answer. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That word profitable meaning good for. And it says, well, what is it good for? This scripture, this word of God, it's inspired by God, so it's God's word, and it's good for a few things. And verse 16 goes on to mention what it's good for. This word of God is good for doctrine, that word doctrine meaning teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So to reprove something and to correct something, well, you was doing something wrong, well, the word of God says this, and it shows you that this is the right way to do it. And this idea of instruction in righteousness, to where it will teach you things concerning righteousness. Well, that's what God's word is used for. That's where we're supposed to be using it for. We, as people of God, need to learn to use God's word for what it's supposed to be used for. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because, see, there's a lot of teachings out there. There's a lot of different teachings that people are using certain words and certain passages from God's word in order to try to make God's word say certain things, or they'll take something out of context and try to apply it to something else. I want to caution everybody about things that get taught in various churches, or just maybe on on the radio. Don't exclude us from that. You know, if we're giving you an answer to something and we don't give you book, chapter, verse, well, then you make sure you're checking it out with the answers that we do give, because we don't want your trust or your belief to be in us. Your trust or belief should be in the Word of God. God's Word is pure, that we just looked at in Proverbs 30, is pure, and we shouldn't add to it. We shouldn't take away from it, because it doesn't need our help. The Word is perfect enough. And we, just as God's children, need to be able to follow it and do what we're supposed to do, and not allow these false teachings, these divisions, to come into play. We warned about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, where the church at Corinth had some divisions. We were warned about that in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, where Paul, that same letter I just alluded to, I read a verse about the Holy Spirit making people overseers, but he goes on to say in verse 29, in Acts 20, verse 29, it says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, also from among yourselves." Yeah, he's talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He says, "From among yourselves, men will rise up, doing what? Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." Those perverse things that they're speaking, that's alluding to a part of what we looked at in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. It says, "Do not add to his words." Well, if God's word is pure and you add to it, well, you make it perverse. What you're saying is those are perverse words that you're using, that you're saying. So we ought not to do that. We were warned about that. And definitely God's word is pure. It's perfect. It doesn't need our help. All we're supposed to do is just take it in context and apply that to our lives. That's what we should be doing. Thank you for that question, Jeff. Hopefully it's been helpful to you, as well as to anyone else who may have had a similar question. The call your question here at the station, the number is 614-4161. That's the number here. Remember that the 308 number, the normal number, is not working today. If you want to call in your question, 614-4161 is the number here to reach us at the station. Or we have the text line available to 725-9283.
You know, Chuck, as you were talking, I was thinking about some other things that people teach that is foreign to the Bible. For example, there are many out there that don't believe a person has to do anything in order to be saved. And so what they say is something like belief is like doing nothing. But belief is actually doing something. You know, you have to hear the Word of God. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I hear it, and an active listener is a person who's taking in what they're hearing, and they're making sure that it's true, that's doing something. And then if I act upon the thing that I hear, that is to say I hear and I believe it, then the Bible talks about repentance. And ladies and gentlemen, that's doing something. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, "Repent, or we shall all likewise perish." And so then there are things that I have to do. But we ought not be confused that my doing is earning me salvation. You can't earn salvation. God gives salvation. It is a gift. God gives it based upon our faith. And so one of the teachings out there is that, well, I don't have to do anything because I have faith. And what's happening is that they're looking at passages like in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, which talks about that a person is not justified by works. But the contrast in this text is the works of the law. And so what we miss sometimes is that there are works that are part of the law of Moses. And those works won't save anyone. It never did. But there are works of faith. That is to say, it is the action that is done as a result of a person's faith. Now, those two work together to justify a person. And so you find in Romans chapter 4 where it says, "What then shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Was he saved according to the flesh?" Verse 2, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt." So if I work and I say that I've earned God's grace and I've earned salvation, then God didn't give it to me by grace. If I did something to earn God's salvation. You can't do anything to earn God's salvation. And so Abraham didn't do anything to earn it. God gave it by his grace. And God gave it as a result of the fact that Abraham believed. But God saw his belief in what he did. And so there are works of the law, which gives the impression that I'm earning God's grace, which I cannot. And then there are works of faith, which shows what I believe. And that's God's intent, that we would have these works of faith or actions of faith. You take a note in Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 8 and 9 oftentimes is where all the attention is given. And for some reason, people leave out verse 10. Let's read all three verses now. The Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I'm not saved by works, but I have to work in order to show my faith. That's what James brings out in James chapter 2. And verse 21, he says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar?" Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. You see that? Not saved by work, but if I have faith, I will have works. I hope that's been helpful to you. But join us right now and go ahead and call 614-4161. That's the number to call today, 614-4161. Again, we make mention that the 308 number is not functioning as it should today. And so we're encouraging you to call in your question right now, 614-4161. While we're at break, we're going to be telling you about a correspondence course that we're offering free in the mail. It's designed to help you in your study of God's Word. Take advantage of it. It's going to be a help to you. You'll see that. If you've been putting it off and putting it off, you know that the Christmas is coming, the New Year's is coming. But usually around the holiday time, everyone gets in this mindset, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do something better. Well, now you have the opportunity to sign up for a correspondence course. If you're saying to yourself about kind of your resolution for next year is to get closer to God and come and have a better understanding of his word, well, now you have this opportunity to sign up for this free correspondence course. We're going to tell you a little bit about that, and there will be a number that's given to you. Go ahead and call that operator standing by. Now, while we are at break, go ahead and call in your question, 614-4161. Or text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, we just wanted to thank you for being able to join us here this afternoon. We have a couple of segments left, but the lines are open here. 614-4161 is the number here to reach us at the station. Once again, I just want to keep mentioning that the old number is not working for today, has some technical difficulties, so we are being able to answer you at 614-4161 is going to be the number here to reach us at the station. Or we do have the text line that is available, 725-9283. You feel free to text in your questions, 725-9283. Once again, want to make mention of our website. We have old broadcasts that are on the website. As a matter of fact, we just got it updated a day or two ago. So all of the old broadcasts up to last week are on the website. So please go ahead and take advantage of that and try to use it as a Bible study. The program is called Let the Bible Speak, and initiative that we're trying to take is to actually have a Bible study over the radio. That's what this program is. That's why we encourage you to continue calling in your questions and letting your questions come in, because your questions set the tone of the broadcast. Sometimes we might have a theme or something that we might want to be able to, an idea that we might want to be able to talk to and get to, and we might not be able to get to it because the questions come in are leading the program in a different direction. That's perfectly fine. We will never put your question on the back burner. We will always want to be able to answer you and to let you get the questions out that you need answered. The themes that we come up with, we usually come up with them a minute or two before the broadcast. So it's not that we try to hold to it that much. Go ahead. We encourage you to call in your questions, text in your questions, send in your questions. And if you're unable to listen to the broadcast fully, go ahead and go to the website, www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. There are old broadcasts on the website that you can listen to, and you'll be able to sit down and take a Bible, a pen and a pad, a highlighter, whatever you need to go ahead, study the scriptures and make sure the things that we're telling you are true. Make sure that the word of God is what we're giving you and not, you know, not our opinions and not taking things out of context. Go ahead, check us out. We are inviting you to make sure you check us out with the answers that we give you, because we do not want to be wrong. We want to be able to give you this, the word of God, and be able to allow you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling that Philippians 2:12 mentions. But once again, that is our website, www.BibleAlone, where the old broadcasts are on it. And we have the number here at the station, 614-4161. Please go ahead and call. I believe we just missed a call, but we just have one line really available today. But if you just missed your call, go ahead, call back right now. We are off the line now. The line is clear. So sorry about missing that. Just go ahead, hit redial, 614-4161. Go ahead, call right back. And that will be able to get to your question. 614-4161 is the number here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283.
725-9283.
Nick,
yeah. Yeah, Steve calls in today. Steve, we sure appreciate you calling in. He says, was there a world of angels before Adam? You know, Steve, I think that's a remarkable question, honestly. I had never given much thought to it, and as I tried to, my mind was going in 100 different passages, none of which gave me any clarity, because I don't think there is a passage, there may be, that I'm just not aware of it, that will give us a timetable for the angels, that is to say, when they were created. We know that they were created, and so there are created beings. Colossians chapter 1 talks about Christ. The Bible says that he is the head of the body in verse 18. And the Bible says in verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. In verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principality, powers, all things were created through him and for him. So we know that they are created beings. There's a passage there in 2 Peter, chapter 2, that perhaps gives a time text, but it's not clear, but I'll offer it up for you to think about and meditate on. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains and darkness to be reserved for the judgment. The way that text reads, it reads past tense, so suggests that this happened at some point. But it doesn't give us a timetable whether or not it was before Adam. In verse 5, it says, and God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world on the world of the ungodly. And so we know when that occurred during the days of Noah, that was Genesis chapter 6. But again, we just don't have a text, at least that I can think of, that gives us a timetable as to when these angels who sinned were cast down and to deliver it into hell. I have some ideas on that, but nothing concrete where I can tell you, thus saith the Lord. So I encourage you, Steve, to continue your studies, and we sure appreciate your question. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That is the number to call today, 614-4161. And if the line is busy, most likely it will be, but calls have been slow today, so you can get your question in right now. My understanding is open right now. So go ahead and call 614-4161, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. If you prefer to text in your question, you can do that as well. That's always open and available to you at 725-9283. That is the number to text, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have this text question in. Text question, the last three digits are 113, and their question says, do you think the people during Jesus' time and after his resurrection believed that the world would end in their time, yet we await his coming today? Well, that's a good question. And first, I just want to kind of make a quick note that it doesn't really matter what we think. I just want to be able to let you know that there's, you know, scriptures in the Bible to be able to show you what the answer to the question is. But as we look throughout the scriptures, then there definitely was an idea or a thought process that Christ was coming back fairly quickly. So, yes, he did have, people probably did have a thought about that. But if you look through a study of the Gospels, and we see multiple times that Christ made mention of, you know, he will come as a thief, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And he used language like that, and he said he had come, you do not know at the time a robber will be coming. You need to watch, therefore, that you not be taken into temptation or anything like that. And so we all, throughout the search of the scriptures, especially of the Gospels, we see that, you know, Christ was telling them that, you know, he'll be back quickly. Watch, be ready, get ready. And so concerning that, 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse, the context really could start with verse 1 over in 2 Peter chapter 3, but I'm going to pick up kind of towards the end and specifically what your question is about. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. I'm sorry, let me go back up, actually. I want to start in verse 7. Verse 7 says, the heavens and the earth, which are now exist, are kept in store were kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some call slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works are in it will be burned up. Well, see, those things are going to happen very quickly. It says like a thief in the night. So it's going to happen very quickly. It's something that we should be ready for, something we should be preparing for. And as far as the time period, once again, verse 8, we don't want to take that too literal, but the idea behind verse 8 is God is not bound by time like we are. We are bound by time. We're the one that watched the clock. Oh, it's 2:28 right now. You know, we're the one that watches the clock. God does not have to watch the clock. He created time. He is not bound by that. So we should not get so caught up in, oh, it's been thousands and thousands of years and Jesus hasn't come back yet. Well, he's long-suffering. He's waiting for so many people that haven't obeyed the gospel yet. He is long-suffering toward us. He doesn't want anyone to come to repentance. So hopefully that's been able to be helpful for you, Nick.
I just had an additional thought in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It seems in the language that Paul used that there may have been some that thought that that the Lord was going to return right then, even not working as they should. And so the language that he used here, he almost gives the impression that that was a real possibility, again showing that Paul himself did not know when the Lord was going to return. In verse 14, he says, "For if we believe," and this is the 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, "for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." You hear that language? This is Paul saying this to an audience that were alive, and he's talking about those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And so it was a very real possibility that they believed that the Lord would come in their time. And that was a right belief to have. And you and I ought to share that same belief, that the Lord can come at any moment, as Chuck brought out, as a thief in the night. You know, a thief don't come by the house talking about, well, I'll be there later on this evening. They don't give you that alert. And so just as much as they had that real expectation of the Lord returning, so must we.
Well, it is time for us to take our break, but even while we're at break, go ahead, call in your question. The line is open. The line is available, 614-4161. If you dial that number, you will be able to get your question in even while at break, 614-4161. Going to go to break, tell you about the Bible Correspondence Course. Please, we are trying to be sincere as we can in that. We want as many people to be able to get information out of that from God's Word to be able to help you. It's we're going to be able to tell you about that. And, you know, it's just going to be $5.99. No, I'm kidding. It's free. It's absolutely free. We will never charge, never have, never will. That is our promise to you. We just want to offer you the treasures that are in God's Word and being able to help you in that eternally. So go ahead, dial in at the station, 614-4161 is here at the station to reach us, or you can text in your question to 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live. Just want you to know that that correspondence course is absolutely free of charge. Please, please do not send us any kind of contribution or offering for that. We do appreciate the responses that we're getting from it. And what we really want you to do is, we don't want to offer and we don't want you to send any money back with it. Just answer it and send it back and continue in with the course. We have far, far, far too many lesson twos that do not go out compared to the lesson ones that do go out. Far, far too many. Lesson two, we should have very similar to the amount of lesson twos going out as we do lesson one. But the fact of the matter is, many people, they get lesson one, they just do not fill it out. And guess what? I will admit that I was one of those people. I dialed in the course. I signed up for it. I believe two or three separate times I signed up for the course. I never filled it out and send it back in. My friends, do not do that. Do not be like I was. Take it, fill it out, study God's word, send it back, answer it. Make a good example. Make a good example of it. Go all the way through the course. You get a certificate towards the end, but forget the certificate. Forget the piece of paper we give you. It's the knowledge of God's word and God's truth is what you get. That is really the beautiful thing in that course. So please, just go ahead and take it and fill it out and send it back in, and we will be able to continue to help you in your growth towards God's word. And that is absolutely free of charge. Please take advantage of that. The number here to dial in at the station and reach us with your question is 614-4161. Just got about 20 or so minutes left. We got two more segments left. 614-4161. The lines are available and open. The person answering the phones is just sitting back there waiting for you to answer, to call in your question. So please go ahead and do that, 614-4161. He's an old man, y'all. Keep him busy because he could fall asleep at any time. 614-4161 is the line here at the station. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283 for the text number. Nikki, you have a question?
Yes, we have a caller calls in. I believe the name is Malika. We sure appreciate you calling in. Explain the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. Very, very good question. Well, let me just start by saying that to understand the concept of what the Bible refers to as Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it will probably take us all a lifetime and more to understand it, because in fact it is a supernatural concept. And when I say supernatural, I mean it exists. It is a concept that is outside of the natural world. We don't understand those concepts that exist outside the natural world, but God, being very gracious, has given us some information so that we can understand it to the best of our abilities. But one of the first things I just want to identify is that they were in fact three separate entities. So, or maybe it may be better for me just to point out that they were in fact one. That they were one in mission, one in goal. And that comes out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll see that the Bible, as it talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, that they are in fact one. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, for there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so you have three verses there that mentions the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's because they are one. You'll find passages like John 14 and verse 10, where Jesus says, believest that thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So Jesus says the Father dwelled in him, because they were one. In John 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So Jesus says, look at the works that I do. You cannot deny that the Father is not in me. And so how was the Father in him, or how is the Spirit in him, and how are they one? I think that concept is beyond us. We have some ideas, but I don't want to offer up those ideas because I would be giving you my opinion. What I would like to identify is that they are all separate entities, and that validates the fact that the three are one. We see three separate entities. And the passage that I'll use for that is Matthew, the third chapter. In Matthew chapter 3, here you have the baptism of Jesus. And verse 16, the Bible says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And then verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So you have in this text all three, again, showing that they are separate, separate entities. The Bible shows us in verse 16, Jesus is the one that was on earth being baptized in water. And continue reading in chapter 16, we see the Spirit now descending like a dove. And then you read in verse 17, you hear the voice of God from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. They are three, and yet they are one. And in the day, if we are right with God, that we see him, we'll come to understand the Godhead, hopefully, for all things in that time will be revealed to us. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 614-4161. That is the number to call. 614-4161. We are nearing the end of our broadcast here. We've got about 20 minutes. So you have an opportunity to get your question answered on today's broadcast. The line is open. So go ahead and get in. Get your question in. Maybe there's something that you heard today that you have a question about. What does God's word say on the matter? Maybe you are like some of the others who have called in during a lot of deep study, and you have a question. We may not be able to answer, but we can dig through the scriptures to see what God says on that matter as well. We encourage you to call in right now. Again, that number is 614-4161. It may be that you've been chewing on whether or not to sign up for the correspondence course. You've been chewing on it. You're thinking about it. You know, you're letting that kind of marinate in your mind. You're meditating on it. Take advantage of the correspondence course because it is free of charge. But more importantly, it will help you in your study of God's word. It will serve as a tool to get you back into digging out the gold nuggets that's found within the word of God. We are not here on this earth to get physical treasure. God wants us to seek that spiritual treasure which is from above and is only found in one location. That is, in fact, the word of God. We just want to help you in that as you mind God's truth from his word. And so go ahead and call the operator standing by and be more than happy to get you signed up for that course. That number again is 553-5157. Now, if you prefer to text us right now, you can text in your question at 725-9283. Again, that number is 725-9283. So you can text your question and we will try to answer it on today's broadcast as well. If you prefer now, you can call us at the station. Again, today's number is 614-4161. That's 614-4161. And we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
We may have mentioned earlier about this idea of salvation and the gospel and what we need to do to be delivered. We may have mentioned that the word salvation means delivered. Well, delivered from what? And in Acts 2, we see when the church was established on the day of Pentecost here in Jerusalem, we see what we need to be delivered from. So in Acts 2, in verse 38 is where we read earlier. But I'm going to go back to the context here. And verse 36, well, starting in verse 22. Peter here is preaching to them. I'm sorry. Actually, Peter starts in verse 14. Verse 14 is where Peter's sermon starts. And then he really gets into the gospel in verse 22, talks about Jesus. In verse 22 of Acts chapter 2, verse 22 says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you with miracles, wonders, signs. So he goes and he starts talking about Jesus in verse 22 in this sermon. And he finishes it up in verse 36. He says, therefore, all right, see, now everybody's grabbing for the songbooks because they know the preacher's almost finished. Verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, talking about the people who were listening, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Verse 40 is key. Verse 40 says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So all the way up until Acts chapter 2, verse 40, these people were not saved yet. Now, we saw in verse 37, they were cut to the heart. So they had a strong conviction. They had this feeling that, okay, this is something wrong. You know, this Savior, this Messiah that we've learned about our whole life came to this earth, and we just killed him. We had him killed. So there's something wrong about that. What can we do to make this right? Then Peter tells them, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so all the way up to the verse 40, though, these people were not saved yet. How do I know that? Because Peter tells them, be saved from this perverse generation. The idea of being saved or salvation, be delivered from this perverse generation. This generation, this world that we're living in, that world today is just as bad as it was back then when he was telling them this. We still live in a perverse generation. There's all kind of political things and social things that people are comfortable with. Millions of people are comfortable with horrible things that God is not pleased with. We as children of God, if we are believers and if we love God, we should not be comfortable with those things that God is uncomfortable with. We should be recognizing that we're in the same type of perverse generation that Peter was telling them to be saved from. Verse 40, he said, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41 says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added. And then we go down to verse 47, we see that, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So, but let me recognize that these people, they were baptized and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. They were being saved from this perverse generation. But these people would not have been baptized if they didn't have their hearts cut. Their hearts were cut by the gospel. It was cut by the word. It was cut by the love of Christ and what he did for them. That's where that faith started. If they had gotten baptized without the faith, then the baptism would have done them nothing. It would have done them no good. They would not have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, in verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized and you should, for the remission of, for, and excuse me, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, if they had been baptized without repenting, it would have been pointless. You know, if they had been able to do that, we recognize that God adds to the church. You see here in verse 47, God adds to the church those who are being saved. So being baptized without faith is absolutely pointless. But the baptism is not what makes it important. It's completed. It's just showing your faith. Our obedience to God shows our faith in God. We can't separate them. We have to make sure that we recognize that the two are together. Then it's time for us to take our last break. We have one more segment after this. But the line is open, 614-4161, to call your question in at the station, 614-4161, or you can text in your question to 725-9283 is the text line, and the correspondence, of course, is what we'll be telling you here at the break, or you can go ahead, call in your question, the line is open, 614-4161, 614-4161. We'll be right back. And as our last segment, please take advantage of the correspondence course. We try to make sure that we offer that and let you know that it is absolutely free of charge. Please do not think it's a bait and switch method in any way, shape, or form. It's not that we give you the first lesson and you have to pay for the second lesson. It's not like one of those things on TV where you just pay separate processing and handling. No, it's not that either. Everything is absolutely free. We do not ask you for any kind of contribution or money. The only thing that we ask is to fill it out and send it back and continue into the end of the course. Write your questions down on there, call in your questions, whatever the case may be. We're trying to help people get to heaven. We do not want to show anything else except for being God's servants and trying to get people to heaven. So go ahead and take full advantage of the correspondence course. Dial that number and speak to the operator standing by. If you have a question here at the station, 614-6141 is the number here to reach us. 614-4161 is the number here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have another caller calling in today. And I think this is another a repeat caller. We sure appreciate you calling back, Malika. She has another question. She says, women should not preach, and I think that's the question. Should women preach, and where is that in the Bible? And so we'll get to that in just a moment. I just want to step back and touch on what Chuck says. Again, you know, in life, you're going to hear a lot of different things concerning what God's Word says. And you want to be able to know for yourself. And that's God's intent. It is God's intent that you can understand His Word for yourself. He didn't try to create a word so complicated that a person has to be a PhD in order to understand it. You keep in mind that Jesus' apostles, those men that were with Him, they were simple men. They were blue-collar workers. Many of them were blue-collar workers. They were fishermen. And yet they could understand. Many of the people during Jesus' day were poor. These were poor folks. They were not the educated folks, and they could understand the message. God intended for this to be a simple message for anyone to be able to understand so that they could have their own faith before God. That's what this correspondence course is about. It is about you studying on your own, trying to have your own faith before God so that you can understand His will and His ways. I want to encourage you to go ahead and take advantage of it by calling 553-5157. 553-5157. If you would prefer in-home study, that is something that we do as well. Let the operator standing by at 553-5157 know that that's something that you're interested in, and we would do our best to make sure we can try to get you scheduled in. We do have a lot of studies going on, but we want to just help people in their study of God's Word. So again, take advantage of the correspondence course. Let the operator standing by know that you would like an in-home study, and we'd be more than happy to try to set that up. Again, that's 553-5157. The calls here at the station to get your question in, 614-4161. That's 614-4161. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Now, back to Malika's question, you know, should a woman preach? Absolutely, just as much as anybody. God intended for everyone to carry His Word. He wants you to carry the truth. He wants me to carry the truth. He wants everybody to carry the truth. And so this is not a private club. You know, take it to your neighbor and tell your neighbor about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take it to your friends at work and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was not some special role to be so that a person can be elevated above everybody else. There's no big I's. There's no little U's in the kingdom of God. We are all just servants of the Most High God. You may recall a question came in about minister. That word is just servant. We are all meant to be servants. But now I understand that that's probably not what you meant when you asked that question. You're probably talking about behind or in the assembly. I was going to say behind the pulpit, but really it's about in the assembly, in the church. Well, in the church, God has given rules, and we just have to abide by those rules. In the church, God has given men rules that they have to abide by, and He's also specified rules for women. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see at such an assembly. We know the context is assembly because, again, you have Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving law concerning their behavior and how they were to conduct themselves in this assembly when they were to gather together as the church. In fact, if verse 28, it says, and talking about tongues, verse 27, 28, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, the Bible says, and let him speak to himself and to God. So God tells a man, if there is no interpreter, be quiet. And you'll find throughout this text, He's going to tell them to be quiet several times. And so not everyone could speak. That's God's intent. And then so you go down further in this text, and you'll see in verse 34, it says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, for they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And so when the assembly is gathered together, this was not supposed to be a time of chaos. This was supposed to be a time that is absolutely, it's control. It is a time of reverence to God. And not everyone had a right to just say whatever they wanted to say. That's not the setting that's painted in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in fact, the Bible goes on, it ends, if you will, in verse 40 by saying, let all things be done decently and in order. And so you're not going to have multiple people speaking at the same time. This was a controlled setting. But God says very clearly and very precisely that the women were to learn in silence. And so we have to hold to that. And again, Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we know in this text that he's not isolating it to just the church at Corinth, because he offers up what I call a truism when he says in verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, plural. So this was something that was for everyone. And even if a person came along and says, you know what, I'm a prophet and I know better than Paul. But here's what he says to that in verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or even spiritual, you know, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So this is absolutely the commandments of the Lord, and we must adhere to it. Of course, there's other passages that may be helpful. I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 1 also brings out verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, thanks, Chuck. Verse 12 also brings out this idea of our behavior, specifically about learning in silence. And so I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. We have just about 4 minutes left in the broadcast, so go ahead and get your question in on today's broadcast by calling 614-4161. Now, if you prefer to send in a text question, you still have time. Go ahead and text us at 725-9283, but don't miss the opportunity to sign up for the Bible Correspondence course. Go ahead and call 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Get your question in right now, 614-4161.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make mention. I told you the wrong reference of that and about submission in 1 Timothy. Sorry about that. I was looking for the right one and still hadn't found it. But but I just wanted to make mention that just in case someone was looking for that. But I believe Nick can give you that in just
verse 11. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. I had the wrong chapter and verse. Whew. And that's why you want to check these things out, because we get it wrong, because we are men. And God's word did not originate from us. If it's in fact God's word, it originated from him. And you want to check it out. You want to make sure the things that we say are in fact the words of God. Again, that passage for correction was 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Thanks again, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, just wanted to make mention. Just wanted to finish up this thought about obeying the gospel of Christ. Turn over to your Bibles, if you're still following along with us, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. See, this idea about obeying the gospel of Christ. So we looked at Acts chapter 2, and we saw that Peter preached the gospel to those people from verses 22 to about 36. And we saw up in verse 40 where he told them, be saved from this perverse generation, so that those people still hadn't been saved. And we saw verse 41, those who gladly received the word were baptized, and they were added to the church. Verse 47 talking about the Lord at the church daily, those who are being saved. And this idea about that's obeying the gospel. This idea about not obeying the gospel, we see what happens. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, and to give thee who you are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Just a warning, that verse right there should scare you. We are supposed to obey the gospel of Christ, and we can only do that if we know what the gospel of Christ is and what it tells us to do. Friends, we must do that. Hopefully, if the correspondence course can aid you and help you in that, please go ahead and sign up for that. Have the operators going to be standing by, just about to leave, but we want to be able to help you out in that. Only God's word will be able to let you know how to be pleasing to him. You must study to show thyself approved in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says that. Be aware, God's word is the only way that we can find the true happiness and true joy that is only contained in God's word, that peace. My friends, we must do that. We must let the Bible speak.